This is Jay Sekulow, Trick or Treat. The House Impeachment Inquiry Vote.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Alexander Hamilton himself, during the debate on the Constitution in the Federalist Papers, Alexander Hamilton warned of days like this, and I quote, "The greatest danger is that the decision on impeachment will be regulated more by the comparative strength of parties than by the real demonstrations of innocence or guilt." Alexander Hamilton warned about days like today.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This Congress records is more subpoenas than laws. That's the legacy. It is not just devoid of solutions for the American people. It is now abusing its power to discredit democracy.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. House Resolution 660, which was, I would call it the attempted retroactive attribution of due process, attempted because I think it fails, was voted on just moments ago if you're watching us live. Here's how it broke down. Democrats in favor, there were 231. There were two opposed. There was one no vote. Republicans, zero in favor. 194 no. Three people did not vote. Usually that's health issues that prevent them from being there. Independents, there was only one vote, and that was yay. So the yays have it, as they say, 232 to 196 with four no votes. So it passes Resolution 660, which sets up the procedural framework for this impeachment inquiry. Now, again, it's not a vote on articles of impeachment. This is how the process would go forward. But as we said on the broadcast yesterday, and I think it bears repeating again, you can't retroactively create due process, Jordan. And that, you coined that phrase, retroactive due process, but that's exactly what they're trying to do.
First, it was an attempt really to try, and I think it's an attempt to try and fool Americans into believing there is some kind of retroactive due process, so that now the president's team has a due process, because the first complaint was there was no vote to have a formal impeachment inquiry. Now there has been. But what about the attorneys getting to be involved and being able to cross-examine witnesses and the selective leaks? Oh, well, we've handled that now. When it gets to the Judiciary Committee, the president's attorneys will be able to appear. Of course, if the president unlawfully, that means the White House too, refuses to cooperate with any congressional request
from any of the committees,
the chair shall have the power in the discretion to impose appropriate remedies, including denying specific requests by the president or their counsel.
Yeah, so
that's not due process.
In front of any committee. So, by the way, the witnesses that are coming forward are already being interviewed, even today, by the intelligence community. And, Andy, there's no due process being offered there. And they say, well, it's no different than Clinton. Well, Clinton was under that was done under a grand jury proceeding.
That's
completely
right.
Different.
That's right.
This is a congressional investigation.
A congressional investigation should not have the attributes of a grand jury. A grand jury is a non-adversary accusatory proceeding which is kept in secret for particular reasons, and that's to protect people who may be innocent and simply fact witnesses. That's not what a congressional hearing should be, and that's what Schiff has done. Essentially, Schiff is using the grand jury formula to try to get together all the evidence that he will then shift over to the Judiciary Committee.
So, Than, let me ask you, now let's talk a little bit about where it goes next. What's the next thing that happens now that this is passed? And are you surprised that a couple of the Democrats voted no?
Well, I don't know if I'm surprised because a couple of these Democrats, it's very significant, Jay. But look, there are 31 Democrats that sit in districts that the people who voted them into office voted for Donald Trump to be president of the United States. So I would tell you that it should be a surprise that 29 of those 31 voted to open this process. They're the ones that are going to have to open to their voters. Here's the other thing that's significant, Jay. Not a single Republican even thought this process was worth going through. That is significant. I'm not surprised that none of them want to impeach the president, but not a single one even believes this process is worth opening. It is not a bipartisan effort.
You could technically say it was a bipartisan opposition to the motion because there were two Democrats that voted no. But anyways, that's where that ends right now. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We've got some other breaking news we're going to deal with tomorrow. We got some special conversation coming for you in, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this feed with your friends right now. Great way to stay engaged. And we're going to talk about something to you all as our Facebook, Periscope, and TV audience now. So hang on that. And again, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, last day of October, ACLJ.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
I'll leave the commentary off the tune. I like the tune. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to go to Wes on this point. And that was, in looking at now, what Jordan correctly adopted this idea of retroactive due process, but the chair in the judicial, by the way, no due process during the Intelligence Committee, which is where all the witnesses are testifying.
Right.
So the cake's baked by the time it goes to the Judiciary Committee. They will just be repeating what they do privately. And if there are public hearings next week, that does not mean the president's lawyers, White House counsel, or his private lawyers would get to participate.
No, and they're certainly not able to participate in the Intel Committee hearings. You know, the rules are not equitable. They don't even attempt to be fair. You know, they favor the majority. For example, you know, as you mentioned, there is, you know, Adam Schiff is allowed to have open hearings. He is not required to. Adam Schiff is allowed to produce, as is Jerry Nadler, transcripts. But they're not required to. You know, no president's counsel is allowed to cross-examine witnesses in the Intel Committee. So it's all in secret still. And Schiff, you know, can release things. He can have open hearings only if he chooses to do so. The other thing that troubles me about these rules is that the ranking member in the minority can request to subpoena someone as a witness, but only if the chair approves it. If the chair says no, then they take it to a vote of the committee, which is, of course, heavily Democrat. So these rules don't even attempt to be fair rules.
And it's not like rules you can prepare for. I mean, I guess you could prepare in the sense that maybe there's a chance you might, under these rules, Andy, get some kind of due process connection, but no guarantee.
No, there is no guarantee. Look, Schiff is conducting a grand jury investigation.
Yes.
Where he is the prosecutor who controls the grand jury. And the other day, one of the witnesses wanted to testify to something. He yells out, no, 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 don't answer that question. So, I mean, there's clearly no due process whatsoever. And this is analogous to a one-sided and non-adversarial proceeding conducted in secret, which equals grand jury.
And I think by the time it gets to the Judiciary Committee, any of the president's attorneys can be involved, so long as the president doesn't unlawfully refuse, and they get to define what that means. Because I guess, what about someone subpoenaed to testify, goes to court? If they even go to court, does that make it unlawful to refuse to cooperate then?
Well, no, I think the exercise of a constitutional privilege like executive privilege would, in their view, be an obstruction.
Right, and thus they could then exclude the attorneys for whatever reason. I mean, this is not due process at all. It's not even retroactive due process. That's what they wanted to sell us on first. This is a denial of due process. And the second part is this. All of these witnesses that are testifying now, most of them, the president's legal team and Republicans would want to have and Republicans on the judiciary would want to publicly cross-examine. Okay. So, but to call those witnesses who have previously testified, guess who has to agree? Nadler. Or if Nadler says no, all the Democrats on the committee.
But
you'd have to get, a majority of Democrats on the committee. So you can't even get the witnesses that you want to testify either.
So, but here's the thing that's ironic, and Hope on Facebook says this, why can't those on the left worry about America as much as they do about going after the president, which is obvious. But they have staked a claim today of, here are the procedures we're going forward as if we are now, although it's still this impeachment inquiry, we're not voting on articles of impeachment, but it's moving in a pattern, I would say. But their pattern is the evidence will be submitted, even the live testimony next week, if it was in public, no cross-examination.
Precisely. So the most widely cited provision on impeachment in the Constitution is Article 2, Section 4, which reads, "The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors." These words do not fully define impeachable offenses. That said, we have history and we have precedent. Any fair understanding of our history, precedent, and the Constitution itself suggests that the president is entitled to due process, substantial fairness, and this, more or less, is a dispute over policy. But due process and substantial fairness must be available at the commencement of the investigation. So we have created a process that is going to be defined by one thing and one thing only. The whim of Jerry Nadler with respect to calling witnesses, introducing evidence,
yep,
and the ability of the president to cross-examine witnesses.
Yep.
So this is a sham.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Norma in Georgia on line 6 as we're talking about the process here. Norma, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Norma.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, well, I listened at 11:30 when they broke into the TV shows about what was happening, and the news people, they are saying, oh, this is so great. The now it's going to be just like it's always been. Like Clinton got this.
Yeah, they're trying to compare the due process of Bill Clinton to the due process or non-existent due process here. The difference is, which is critical, Andy, is Bill Clinton's investigation was done under the auspices of a grand jury.
That's correct.
This is done within a Senate committee, a House committee, excuse me, and a House committee should not have the grand jury secrecy rules.
No, they should not. And we said that.
It's an elected body versus a judicial one.
This is not the Congress is not a judicial body. The congressional committees are not secretive grand juries impaneled by federal district courts. They do not have all the provisions that are entitled to them under the federal rules of criminal procedure. Clinton lied. He lied before grand jury, making false statements to a federal grand jury. These are the things that he was impeached for. These congressional hearings should be open, public. There should be the opportunity for cross-examination, confrontation of witnesses, the right to subpoena, the right to make statements, and all the panoply of things that you would have in a criminal trial.
And for them, I think it's laughable to compare it to Clinton and say, oh, that was great, because all of them thought it was horrendous. It wasn't actually the greatest procedure of all time.
In fact,
the Office of Independent Counsel, which is what Ken Starr's position was allowed to be eliminated so that this would never happen again. You would not have these behind-the-scenes, closed-door impeachment hearings to remove potentially remove the president of the United States after they are duly elected by the American people. So what did Congress say? We're not going to reauthorize again an independent counsel. So that office doesn't exist. And I think one of the reasons why is because of that closed-door feeling. And the fact that Adam Schiff says, well, I'm conducting it like a grand jury, that's exactly what Congress didn't want when they decided not to reauthorize the independent counsel statute.
Yep, Wes.
You know, this is, you know, Schiff obviously is operating as a self-appointed, you know, grand jury.
Yep.
But this is an attempt. You know, Bill Clinton broke the law. He lied under oath. This is an attempt to undo an election based on policy disagreements and personal animus, which is the very thing when the framers of the Constitution debated, you know, impeachment. This was the very thing they wanted to avoid.
To happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this, Dan. This is the thing that's the ironic to me. If you look at what the impeachment of Bill Clinton, it was focused on the Lewinsky matter and lying under oath and that. Here, it's clearly, I mean, the focus is on Ukraine policy and the phone call. And some, you know, full-time bureaucrats disagree with what the president said. But the president is the commander-in-chief. So this is really a flip side of impeachments generally.
Yeah, I mean, the rhetorical focus is on that, Jay. But even behind the scenes, the real focus is not even on that because they won't discuss the merits of it. They know there's not a lot of grounds there to discuss it. And back to the motivation you were talking with Jordan about, Jay, just I'm absolutely convinced if they thought they were winning the White House back next November, they would not be proceeding with this. But they are choosing that political question over the fate of these 31 Democrats who just voted for this process, even though they're running in districts that Donald Trump won. Jay, I do think it's important to inject at this place again, even though Chairman Schiff thinks he's running a grand jury procedure, we need to remind people there's no guarantee that even the due process that was promised to the president and his counsel when it gets to judiciary will be that way, because Section 4 that was just approved says Chairman Nadler, he can rewrite those rules any time he wants.
And if you exercise your constitutional right, executive privilege, for instance, under Article 2, they could use that as a basis upon which to disqualify, Andy, the lawyers from participating.
That's right. It says in paragraph F of the rules of the Judiciary Committee is going to apply, should the president unlawfully refuse to make a witness available for testimony or produce documents, to who? Any investigative committee. Well, the Financial Oversight Committee is one of the committees that is listed in this resolution. The tax return non-production could be considered to be an unlawful refusal to produce documents. Therefore, all these rights that they supposedly gave you are gone.
All right, we've got a lot more ahead. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. Also, if you're on Facebook or Periscope, and there's a lot of you that are on Twitter or ACLJ.org, share this link with your friends. Let's get more people involved in the conversation. We'll be staying live during the break. We've got some updated news we want to give you on another case of the ACLJ, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Easy to do. And again, share it with your friends right now on Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter, or at ACLJ.org. We come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook as well. We've got a couple of those we're going to go through here right during the break. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Obviously, we're talking about this impeachment vote, but I want to take a break for just a few minutes and discuss a case. If you get the newsletters or email updates from the American Center for Law and Justice, you got one yesterday that said an American Christian pastor is essentially a hostage in India. Pastor Brian Nareen, a U.S. citizen from Tennessee, has spent over 17 years of his life ministering in Nepal and India until he was recently arrested in India because he is a Christian. While traveling to a conference, officials asked him if he was a Christian and whether funds he was carrying would be used to support any Christian work. He was later arrested. When he needed medical attention, the doctor spit on the ground because he was a Christian. That's a cultural thing they do. His passport was confiscated. He's been trapped in India for ever since and is being really basically treated like a hostage at this point. Back at home, his special needs daughter who needs constant care does not have her daddy. His wife is heartbroken. He must be allowed to return to the United States with his wife, children, and young grandkids. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Nareen. This week, our legal team has been in Washington, D.C., working with the State Department and Congress and advocating globally on his behalf. Pastor Nareen needs your voice now. Now, Than Bennett, you were at some of these meetings in the Senate yesterday. Tell us what is happening. This, again, this is the ACLJ in action, folks.
Yeah, our court work goes on here, Jay. Pastor Nareen, his wife Rhonda, was in D.C. yesterday to advocate on his behalf, and you outlined the case. I think the key fact that needs to be reiterated, Jay, is the claim that he was made against him, that he was in possession of these funds to support the conference that he had been attending. Jay, it was not illegal. In fact, he declared it to the customs agent when in New Delhi. They called ahead to Bagdadra and arrested him because of what you said. He was conducting Christian ministry. By the way, he'd been doing it for 17 years, but yesterday, Jay, in Washington, D.C., I got to tell you, the Tennessee senators, Marsha Blackburn and Lamar Alexander, heard directly from Pastor Nareen's wife, Rhonda. They are engaged in the case. Rhonda and then CeCe Heil, who is our lead counsel on this case, had meetings down at the State Department as well. They are engaged as well. But look, the United States government needs to speak up with one voice. Yes. We are seeing that now. Pastor Nareen needs to come home quickly. His passport still, Jay, it has not been returned to him, and that travel ban has not been lifted. No, those are the immediate asks.
Pastor Nareen needs to be released. We're calling on the government of India to do just that, and we're going to continue fighting for this pastor and his family as we're fighting for Pastor Saw and his family as Pastor Saw is in jail in China. Let's go ahead and take some calls. A lot of calls coming, so what I'm trying to do here on this segment is we'll get a couple of calls, at least clear some lines open, Jordan. Let's take a caller on line one. Yeah. Sherry's been holding a long time.
Yeah, Sherry, New York, you are on the air.
Hey, Sherry.
Yes, thank you so much, sure. Jay, for the great ministry for you and your associates. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to say that what's been going on in the House is an excellent example of why it is so important for those of us who are supporting President Trump and his administration and his policies, and also those of us who respect our Constitution, to get out and vote, not only in the national elections, but in the primaries, midterm elections. Every time there's an election, it's so important that we get out and vote so that the right people can be put in office. Those in leadership right now in the House are obviously incompetent. They don't respect our Constitution, and they should not be in these positions of leadership.
You know, what's interesting, Sherry, 29 Democrats voted today to move forward on this impeachment in districts that President Trump won. That's 29 Democrats. That was what pushed it over the top. If they had followed as a couple did in out of the 31 districts the Democrats in the House hold that President Trump won, two of those Democrats, one a freshman, one a 15-term member of Congress, so one a long term or 30 years, one just their first year and a half in Congress, decided not to vote for this. If the additional 29 made the same decision, this resolution didn't pass. I mean, so elections, serious consequences, is not just about who is in the White House, and it's not just about who controls the Senate. It's about the House of Representatives. As Kevin McCarthy said, there have been more subpoenas issued by this Congress than there has been legislation passed. That is, you know, it's kind of a very sad moment for our country when there's more subpoenas than legislative work being done.
I want to play what Kevin McCarthy also said about this idea that we've been talking about with constitutional rights and privileges. Listen to number 43.
I've heard members on the other side say they promise rights to the president, but only if he does what they want. That's the equivalent of saying in the First Amendment, you have the right to the freedom of speech, but you can only say the words I agree with.
That's what you
you call due process.
Well, Andy, that's no due process. And we don't even know if you get, you know, they could just decide, like Samantha said this earlier, Jerry Nadler could just say, no, I've changed the rules.
Well, that's exactly what I fear is going to happen. Nadler, being a partisan, already saying he's for impeachment. How can he preside over this committee in an objective, neutral way? He can't. I mean, that's not going to happen. He says to the president, say, let's say he asserts executive privilege or he asserts some constitutional right that he has under the Fourth Amendment or other any applicable amendment to the Constitution. Nadler can say at that point, you're unlawfully not giving testimony or preventing the production of books, records, and documents. Therefore, all these procedures, confrontation, statements, cross-examination of witnesses are gone.
Right.
You have violated the rules, and I have now decreed that you don't have any more of these so-called these procedural rights that I gave you. That's exactly what he could say, and I predict that's exactly what he's going to do.
Yep.
Jerry's calling in from Rhode Island on line 5. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, team.
Hey.
In light of all the bullet points that Jay said, Harry said, isn't there already a opportunity to go to the Supreme Court for an injunction on what they just did for violation of his due process? And if they do what Harry just described then, not only for Trump as an individual, but for an amicus brief as the friend of the
Well, here's the thing. I mean, as I've said before, and I'll say again, no options are off the table. No options are off the table. But you've got to look at the courts tend to not want to get involved, Harry, into political processes, but there are exceptions.
There are exceptions, and so certainly the court would be reluctant to get involved. Typically, courts, particularly the Supreme Court, is guided by the political question doctrine. They might suggest, for instance, that this controversy is not ripe for judiciability. So the Supreme Court may be reluctant. On the other hand, I think the Supreme Court, when presented with a body of evidence, which is actually being created as we speak by the Democrats, which suggests a denial of elementary due process, a denial of elementary fairness, and a denial of the right to confront and cross-examine witnesses, may be inclined to reconsider its reluctance. And I think the American people, going back to the prior caller, they should be appalled and they should reject this sham inquiry out of hand, but they must get organized.
So I'm going to play, when we come back from the break, Doug Collins' comments on the floor of the House, because I think it sums it up very, very well. But I want to go to Than here as we close this minute out, and that is kind of give us a little bit of an overview of the roadmap ahead timing-wise. I know a lot of guessing here, but what is your sense?
Well, the next few weeks are going to be focused in Chairman Schiff's committee as they continue this process. Jay, some of it's probably still going to be behind closed doors.
Some will be public, some behind closed doors, no lawyers involved. No agency
Correct.
Lawyers, no private lawyers, yeah.
Even if they don't change the rules, Jay, the rules they passed today don't allow for lawyers to be present. That's the best case scenario.
Right. So there you have it. I mean, so whatever process is due, this is not enough due process, I think, is the end result of that. All right, we're taking a break. Share this with your friends if you're on Facebook or Periscope. We got another 30 minutes ahead. If you're listening on radio, if your station doesn't carry the hour, a lot of them do, you go to SiriusXM or over to ACLJ.org. But you can get the full hour that way, and a lot of stations carry that now. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in a moment. Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Share it with your friends right now.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This Congress records is more subpoenas than laws. That's the legacy. It is not just devoid of solutions for the American people. It is now abusing its power to discredit democracy.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, if you missed the first half hour, we're talking about Resolution 600 or 660, excuse me, which is passed on the following basis. This is the resolution that laying out the procedures for the impeachment inquiry. It is not a resolution. It's not a hearing on articles of impeachment. The Democrats are 231 in favor, two no, one no vote. Republicans, zero in favor, 194 no, three people that were not able to vote. Independents, one said yes. Total is 232 in favor, 196 opposed, four people that did not vote. Doug Collins, who's a ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, went to the floor of the House. Here's what he said.
No matter what is said by the other side today, this is a dark day and a cloud has fallen on this House. It has been falling for 10 months and it is showing itself today. What we are seeing is this. If the gentleman who is a friend of mine from the Rules Committee would actually want to talk about, are these the same rules as Clinton and Nixon, then we would have had a much longer period of debate, because he knows and I know it is not. There are similarities, some better, some not, but they are not the same.
And the key thing there is to understand that the reference to the Clinton investigation ignores the fact, Andy, that that was a grand jury proceeding.
That's right.
By Ken Starr.
The congressional investigations or inquiries of the committees are not grand jury proceedings governed by the federal rules of criminal procedure. They are political proceedings. And that means that the person who is the subject or target of them, yep, and shouldn't even use that language because that's grand jury language, but that's what they are, should be afforded the full panoply of due process rights, confrontation, cross-examination, and so forth. That is not what Schiff is doing.
Wes?
Yeah, they're trying to make us think that they are guaranteeing due process going forward. In fact, there is no guarantee in any of these rules to due process. In effect, this vote this morning changed absolutely nothing. It's an attempt to take a flawed and improper inquiry, something that is fundamentally unfair and unwarranted, and to make us think it is legitimate when in fact it's not, and they're not even attempting to make it fair and legitimate. And it's not only unfair to the minority party, Jay. This is the people's house. This whole process, yep, should be completely honest and above board. What they're doing is unfair to the American people.
So it was interesting. Ann on Facebook said the Democrats don't understand. They've cried wolf long enough and that no one will believe them moving forward. And then Andrew said they don't just want to control the president. They want complete power for the legislative branch.
I think that's correct. And so you could label this latest effort by Nancy Pelosi as an attempt to usurp the president's Article 2 policies with respect to Ukraine, for instance. The Constitution gives the president the power with respect to foreign policy, and he indeed exercised his authority within the meaning of Article 2 and the Constitution. The Democrats apparently do not like the exercise, and it is clear beyond question that the Democrats are entitled to have a policy dispute, but they do not have the constitutional right to set policy. Secondarily, we should note that the Democrats have been seeking to impeach this particular president before he indeed was inaugurated. And so this is a continuation of a long-held strategy by the Democrats, and hopefully it fails.
All right, well, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. Again, I want to go to Jordan really quickly here. The politics of this now, 40 seconds here.
That's what it all comes down to. I mean, this was a major, because the president's not going to be removed by impeachment. He's not going to be convicted by the Senate. Lindsey Graham's already proved that with the votes he's got there. And this phony resolution got no Republican support. It's going nowhere. So this is all going to be about how it affects the electoral process. Democrats want to hurt the president with this, but typically this backfires on the party that moves forward. It's like a shutdown of the government kind of thing. It backfires, and backfires in a bad way electorally. So I think it's a huge risk for Democrats. They were pigeonholed by the left.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Thriller. There you go. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We have one open line. One open line. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Cole calling in from California on line 6. Cole, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yes, thanks, team. If what the Democrats are doing is really wrong and illegitimate, and I believe it is in this impeachment process, don't you think that the judicial branch of our constitutional republic has a sacred duty to step in to bring some clarity and reason back to these legal processes?
I think that's right. I think that the concern here is that you don't have a process that's going forward that meets fundamental fairness.
I mean, some of this could be challenged along the way now that they've opened themselves up to opening an official inquiry. There already have been court cases challenged.
Yeah, we've got some
so there, there's cases being challenged right now about this. So I think, Cole, what you're asking is being done in the courts. That the bigger question is the Supreme Court going to be able to step in and shut it down? No. The way the Constitution was written, it was written still very broadly to give Congress this power. There are areas where the courts can step in.
Yeah.
So where
specific violations of due process.
Right, specific violations of other constitutional guaranteed rights to all people, regardless if you're the president, a former cabinet member, a current White House official, or a former official. So there's certain constitutional rights that can't be violated. So that is where the courts can step in. But over this bigger kind of what we believe is a sham, I mean, and it is a sham, and as like Kevin McCarthy said, one of these Democrats has said, you know, we can't beat him in the ballot box. This is the only way we can get rid of President Trump. Kevin McCarthy said that on the floor, and that Democrat's put forward these resolutions, what, I think three times? I think we have Kevin McCarthy saying it. Yeah, it's a bite 44.
Today is more than the fairness of an impeachment process. It is about the integrity of our electoral process. Democrats are trying to impeach the president because they are scared they cannot defeat him at the ballot box. That's not my words. That's the words of my colleagues from the other side of the aisle that has offered impeachment three different times.
Yeah, that's Congressman Al Green. Three times he's offered impeachment, and the Democrats at that point were unwilling to go there. Well, this fourth time, they're willing they're willing to go there. And as Kevin McCarthy said, this has been their theme the whole time, and one of them has actually admitted that the whole reason why they have this theme and been pushing it, and finally Nancy Pelosi folded to it, is they don't have the candidates on the other side of the aisle to beat him.
So let me ask this question then, Harry. So have they walked the plank here, so to speak? Is it that far along, do you think?
I think it likely is, in part because of the vote itself. So they have, I think, 230, 231 votes in favor of this quote-unquote inquiry and this process. And I think they will be able to sustain probably up to 217, which will be necessary to go forward. On the other hand, it is possible that during the hearings themselves, evidence will emerge that will be indeed publicly available, which will suggest that the Democrats clearly are overreaching. I think, in my judgment, the Democrats have already overreached. However, I think if that becomes clear to the public, then the Democrats may decide to step back from this impeachment inquiry and move on.
Here's what Adam Schiff said. Take a listen.
This resolution sets the stage for the next phase of our investigation, one in which the American people will have the opportunity to hear from the witnesses firsthand. We will continue to conduct this inquiry with the seriousness of purpose that our task deserves, because it is our duty and because no one is above the law.
So, which means, as our executive producers pointed out, that means the American people will only hear what Adam Schiff wants them to hear. Fan, that's really the reality of what happens here.
After the bulk of the work was done behind closed doors with no access, minority rights, or counsel for the person that they are targeting, that's just a joke of a statement, Jay. But look, you and Jordan talked about the judicial recourse here. Ultimately, Jay, the American people have the ultimate political recourse, as is appropriate. And I would just say this, Speaker Pelosi and Adam Schiff are going to get a lot of attention on this. Jay, they each hold one vote in the House of Representatives. Individual members hold their own voting card and have to be held to account for their own votes. Jordan talked about the 29 Democrats in Trump districts who went down and voted for this inquiry. At the end of the day, Jay, their voters wanted President Trump. They also put a Democrat in the House of Representatives. Yep. Come next November, Jay, the American people get to decide. That's really the bottom line.
Which is what I thought would happen here. I still have this theory that they're going to run out the evidence over the next months and then say, okay, we're 9 months out or 10 months out from a general election, rather than undoing the 2016 election, we will go ahead and let the American people decide. But we'll see. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, William in Georgia on line four, getting into the politics of this. William, which I think is the bigger picture. It really is actually, it's like the elephant in the room. The Democrats want to take this all seriously. The Republicans are trying to point out the truth. This is all about partisan politics and an election just about a year away. Today is November 1st. The election is on November 3rd next year. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You there, William?
Nope. We're going to go ahead and get that fixed. Yep. Let's go ahead and go to Tim Jordan.
Hey, Tim, and calling from Michigan, line three. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. My question is, I was listening to the judicial part of this, but is there any way, because it seems to me that Schiff has already, nobody's above the law, and Nancy Pelosi, nobody's above the law. It seems to me, even with following you through some of this, Jay, that they're breaking the law. And I mean,
they're certainly not providing due process, but the Congress has, ability to set its rules and regulations. As I said, nothing is off the table as far as scope and nature. But I think to the American people, and I'll go to Wes on this, this process does not look fair, and this is a late attempt to try to make it look fairer.
Absolutely. They're trying to, after the fact, make it look legitimate. Yeah, the American people as a whole have a deep sense of fairness, and they tend to be defensive of people that are being treated unfairly. Nancy Pelosi is right in that statement we just played. Our democracy is at stake because the Democrats in this case are trampling on our democracy. They're trampling on due process. They're trampling on fairness. And above that, they're trampling on the will of the American people and the people who voted for Donald Trump.
Let me play Nancy Pelosi's statement. Take a listen.
I don't know why the Republicans are afraid of the truth. Every member should support allowing the American people to hear the facts for themselves. That is really what this vote is about. What it's about, the truth. And what is at stake? What is at stake in all of this is nothing less than our democracy.
But Harry, first to you, then to Andy, then to Jordan. But the truth of the matter is, this entire process thus far has been conducted in secret.
Absolutely. And it has been conducted without elementary fairness. And so Nancy Pelosi's claim is very, very rich. Adam Schiff's conduct amounts to the denial of the truth. In other words, he doesn't want to hear from witnesses who are answering questions offered by Republicans because he doesn't want to hear the full story. Adam Schiff has a predetermined agenda, an outcome that he has determined probably since 2016. Let's go after this president. He relied immensely on Bob Mueller. That failed. Now he wants to create another narrative.
Yeah, Adam Schiff, basically the impeacher-in-chief, as he's been called, has made a predetermination long ago that he wanted to get rid of this president. He knows it's not going to happen at the ballot box, that the American people resoundingly elected the president in 2016. Even before the man was inaugurated, they were after him. They've been after him. And they said, well, we can't beat him at the ballot box, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll beat him through this impeachment process. And the way we'll do it is we'll concoct a way to do it in secret. We'll concoct a way to do it like we do in a grand jury. We have the majority in the House now, and we're going to run it the way that we want to run it. That's exactly what he's doing.
Let's all remember, though, today, especially conservatives, how successful Adam Schiff has been at this. Not. Okay? He has failed and failed miserably, and I think Nancy Pelosi just fell into the biggest trap of her political career by calling for this vote today, because she will go down as the person who exonerated President Trump before the election. He will be fully exonerated. He's already been exonerated by a special counsel, but that special counsel, in our opinion, didn't go far enough in his exoneration and should have gone further, but instead tried to kind of have it both ways to try and please the Adam Schiff types, who said they still had evidence of Russian collusion, even while Bob Mueller's sitting there saying there was no evidence of Trump, Russia campaign collusion or conspiracy, the actual crime being conspiracy. So this will go down as the moment where Nancy Pelosi is remembered for exonerating Donald Trump fully and totally in front of the American people before Election Day. And it's because they have no other choice, because they let this party be taken over by Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and AOC, and that is the party that is that will ultimately lead to the demise. There won't be a Speaker Pelosi anymore because of this decision today, in my opinion.
All right, that's going to do it for this segment of the broadcast. Stay tuned. We've got a whole another segment to go where we take your calls and comments. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, of course, share it with your friends, but also get your comments in. It's a good way for them to read them. Phone lines are jammed right now. They'll open up during the break, so we encourage you to do that. We'll be back with more, including your comments and calls, at 1-800-684-3110. Follow us at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole.
We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Interesting comment. You got to realize here, now that you look at what they've done. So here's what they've done. Round one, you get no questioning, no cross-examination. Round two, which will be public, you're not going to get cross-examination or questioning. Round three, we will let you have questioning as long as you don't exercise your privileges, which means if I was in a trial, Andy, we were trying a case, the judge saying, you're going to have a trial, but if you raise an evidentiary objection, I'm sorry, or constitutional objection, I'm sorry, the trial's over.
That's right, because you're acting unlawfully. Jerry Nadler says, you've acted unlawfully. You can't cross-examine this witness anymore. You've not produced documents, books, and records to any of the committees that are listed in H. Res. 660, and therefore, I am now exercising my right to impose discretion on you, including that your counsel will not be allowed to cross-examine any further witnesses or produce any documents.
There is a breaking news. I think that this has been the moment people have been waiting for. We have said that Adam Schiff from the beginning should have had to recuse himself because of his contact with the whistleblower, his staff's contact with the whistleblower, which we're going to get into even more tomorrow on the broadcast. What's being reported by Real Clear Investigations, part of the Real Clear Politics family of websites. Congressman Doug Collins has now said that he will be calling in the House Judiciary Committee, which he sits, for Adam Schiff to come and testify as a witness, because he is a fact witness. He was a witness in the sense that his staff had contact with the whistleblower that has vanished all of a sudden. And is no longer important to Adam Schiff, but started this whole process. This was the ghost that's on Halloween that started the process. And Adam Schiff lied when was asked about it. Let's take a listen. We've got sound on it right now.
Here's my challenge to Mr. Schiff. You want to be Ken Starr? Be Ken Starr. Come to the Judiciary Committee, be the first witness, and take every question asked of you. Starting with your own involvement with the whistleblower. Folks, this ain't over. Get ready. The cloud that is dropping will be dropping on their heads, because process matters and substance will always win out in the end. And this president has nothing to worry about on substance.
This is what I have said from the beginning, is that of this broadcast, Adam Schiff has been a failure for Democrats and liberals. Why they keep letting him do this is a huge question to me. He failed them on Russia. And he lied about that when he said, well, I've got concrete evidence of obstruction, of conspiracy, of collusion. When Bob Mueller and his giant team with a huge budget found none. And by the way, he never had that evidence. He was lying. Then they let him lead this, and he lied about the whistleblower. So he is a disaster for Democrats. And they can have these votes. They can open their impeachment inquiry. They could vote on impeachment. But at the end of the day, like Doug Collins said, they are opening a can of worms that they don't fully understand. Yeah. And I think the American people do understand. This is disgusting what they're doing a year out before the election. It's disgusting what they're doing to our president. But this will come back at them in a sense, because there are people like Adam Schiff who have to testify for this to be open and fair, since he lied about it from the beginning.
Okay. Ed's calling from New York on line one. Ed, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Good. Good.
Listen, I really appreciate the objective conversation about this. And my point that I wanted to make and have you guys discuss and address is I'm concerned about the long-term effect of what the Democrats are doing, not only to the judicial process, but to our election process as a whole.
Yeah. Now, let me go to Than. That's a very good question. Than, I want to go to you first, then Harry, because there are long-term policy repercussions here. Than?
I'd say two things. One is more of a procedural one. Perpetual impeachment, Jay. I mean, every president from this day forward, from the moment they take office, is under a so-called impeachment proceeding because you no longer have to authorize it to launch it. The second thing, Jay, and I'm really concerned about this, is foreign policy. How in the world is the leader of the executive branch, the commander-in-chief, expected to conduct foreign policy if these kind of leaks, these kind of exposures, these kind of undermining of authority are going to take place moving forward? So, look, everybody that will ever run from this office again is going to have to deal with those two considerations. I'm always under an impeachment inquiry, and how can I conduct foreign affairs?
Harry?
I think Fan is absolutely correct. And I think going forward, we will see virtually the immediate attempt to delegitimize the election of a new president on the day of inauguration. In other words, Adam Schiff's misconduct, aided and abetted by Nancy Pelosi, will provide an incentive for those who are driven by power as opposed to principle to immediately politicize the will of the American people, and they will attempt to, in essence, deny democracy going forward. This is going to be harmful and toxic for the republic going forward, and it could lead ultimately to fracture.
Let's go to Barry calling from West Virginia on line two. Barry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Then Lisa will come to you as the final call of the day.
Thank you. I'll make it short and sweet. I'm one of, I don't know, hundreds of millions of people that are just biting nails right now going, is that right? This can't be. Why is this so? Number one, can we reverse what's been done by the House in making their own rules to set up investigations to do as they will? And where's the hope for us that are not illegally with background?
Well, that's your the hope's in the ballot box. I mean, don't forget this. I mean, we don't lose hope here. I mean, this is a constitutional republic. You know, you've got a divided government right now. You got the House controlled by the Democratic Party. You got the Senate controlled by Republicans. You got the White House controlled by the Republicans. That can change. Any of these things can change. That's why elections happen. Yeah. But I think there's a fundamental issue that's even more fundamental than that right now, and that is this process itself, Wes and Andy, just reeks with impropriety.
Absolutely. You know, this these rules are so open-ended and so slanted to the majority, which we already know they're not honest brokers, so full of possible Democrat loopholes, you could drive a truck through them. The Democrats are taking a huge political risk. I think it's going to backfire. I don't think most of the American people support this.
All right, I'm going to ask a question here, Andy, and let everybody answer. I'll start with you. This is a question. Lisa, go ahead. You cut, get on the air real quick. Here's your, give us your questions. We're going to answer them real quick.
Hi. Actually, it was answered in the past two questions, and I just want to say thank you for all that you do, and I'm praying for you guys.
Thank you. All right. Where do we go from here is what she said. What do you think happens next? Andy, I'll let Jordan, you're going to finish.
The president will be impeached by the House Judiciary Committee and the entire vote of the House of Representatives. It will be sent to the Senate, where it will either be dismissed by a motion to dismiss under the Graham-McConnell Amendment, or he will be acquitted.
Yeah, this is an attempt to impeach a president over a phone call in his Article II powers in the Constitution. It will pass in the House. I think Andy's right. It'll fail in the Senate.
I'm in general agreement. I think there's a 75% chance that impeachment will pass in the House, and then there will ultimately be no conviction in the Senate.
Very quick.
I think the real impact will be next November, Jay, when the president's reelected and most of these 29 Democrats who took the walk will no longer have seats in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, politically, I think impeachment's already happened for political purposes by this vote today. The impeachment part by the House, they will feel the political ramifications. President Trump will be reelected with a bigger vote total than before, with a bigger electoral win. There will be less Democrats in the House. And I wasn't saying this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to say it today because I think that Pelosi made the fundamental error that she was staying away from. By allowing this vote to move forward, she has probably cost her party the leadership of the House of Representatives. And President Trump is going to start his second term with a Republican House and Senate. The biggest, that is the scariest moment for the Democrats. They just started the next red wave for us.
All right, that does it for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to get into this whistleblower issue.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.